you gave to the dark and empty skies, my love. To the dark and empty skies. First time ever I kissed your mouth. Was there at my command, my love? That was there at my command. And the first time ever I lay with you, felt your heart beat over mine.
What if this summer you did something different? What if you worked with people you admired in a city that inspired you, making something that you were proud of? The Media Institute for Social Change is looking for students like you to be a part of their summer documentary program in Portland, Oregon. As a student, you'll create original audio and video pieces about issues that you care about. You'll meet and learn from media professionals whose work is aimed at social justice. You'll immerse yourself in Portland, a city that will serve as your hands-on media-making laboratory. Sound like your type of summer? Apply today at mediamakingchange.org.
Another night's work well done. And so easy without that nuisance Spider-Man.
I didn't know you cared.
You!
Yes, Electro. And I'm going to short-circuit you once and for all.
You would have been better off in the hands of the police. You are no match for my power.
It takes more than power to win. It takes brains and knowing your enemy.
I'll pick my power against your brains any day. What was that?
That, my thieving fiend, is the result of brains.
Use your brain. Turn off all the lights when you leave a room. If every household in BC turned off one light bulb for 4 hours a day for 1 year, it would save enough electricity to power all the homes in Mission for an entire year. This Power Smart Play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is a very special White Noise. We're airing our one-act play called The Men Who Came, just for your viewing pleasure, or listening pleasure,
yeah,
I should say.
Yeah, no one's seen this, mate.
So I'm very, very excited to do that. Hope you guys will enjoy it. And then, of course, we are going to do the White Noise after show as usual. Bit of a short one because the play does run a bit longer than our typical show, but we'll fit in as much as we can, some kick-ass music and, of course, some good debate. But without further ado, it's time for a very special White Noise.
Warning. The following programming contains strong language and some themes that listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. The Men Who Came by Simon Welton.
You ready?
I guess. I won't really know till we actually do it.
Wrong attitude, Arthur. Supreme confidence is the only way we will pull this off. I've done 100 of these, and every single one is different except for one constant. You have to sell it.
Right, sell it.
It don't matter if you're doing what we do, or you're doing a job interview, or you're meeting someone for the first time. You're always selling yourself. Prostitution may be the oldest profession in the world, but the man who bought the sex sold himself to someone else first.
I see.
Do you? You're not selling me. Where's the confidence? Where's the self-belief? The key to lying is believing it's true.
Okay, don't worry. I won't let you down.
Much better.
And thanks again for giving me a chance.
No problem. Murray would have been here, except he's currently legless.
He's a drunk?
Nope, just a bad gambler with big debts.
Ah.
Recite back to me the details one more time. I want to know you got it.
All right, the target is called Fiona Lester, a 42-year-old widow of Neil Lester, former CEO of Kensington Oil, net worth $4 million.
And her old man?
Clint Madison, a former general of the U.S. Army, decorated war hero, and owner of Madison Plastics in California.
How long have they been estranged?
40 years. He left her on her second birthday.
What a guy.
Said the con artist.
Watch it. Murray's prosthetic legs will be ready in a week.
Sorry.
Don't worry. By next week, he'll probably have no fingers either.
Oh.
Ms. Lester speaking. Oh, hello, Diana. What can I do for you? Tonight? No, I have to wait in for some lawyers that are meant to be calling. Oh, something to do with my father's estate. Yes, I know it seems odd. Yes, it's been 5 years since he died. Thank you for reminding me. No, I'm staying in. Maybe. Goodbye. Ha! As if I'd want to spend an evening with you and your dim-witted husband. Morons. Ah, whiskey. You never age, do you? We all die, but treated right, you stay 12 forever. But then again, who the hell would want to be 12 forever?
Mrs. Lester?
Ms. Lester. And you are?
Nate Cattermole, Esquire. And this is my junior, Arthur Ketcher.
I don't shake. I don't know where you've been.
Can we come in?
I don't know. You don't look that capable, but you are welcome to.
Thanks. This is a beautiful house you've got here.
Yes, well, I will pass on your compliments to the people who actually built it.
May we sit down?
Oh, enough with the politeness. It's grating. Drink?
Some water would be great.
Water? Are you ill?
No.
Then have some scotch like a man.
Okay, I'm more of a gin drinker myself.
Gin? Are you ill?
No, what?
Gin was derived as an herbal medicine originally.
You sure know a lot of facts.
No, just that one. Now, have a drink of whiskey. You're making me feel uncomfortable in my own home. I don't like it.
Sure, no problem.
Is he old enough to drink?
Oh, for sure.
He looks nervous. Is he feeble-minded?
No, he's just trying to observe the master at work.
I see. Well, let's not keep him in suspense any longer. What do you want?
We don't want anything. We come bearing both good and bad news. I'm afraid, you see, as I said on the phone, I'm an attorney and I represent your father.
Ah, yes, my father. The man who grew tired of me before I could talk.
Yes, we are aware that you haven't spoken to him in a long time.
And good riddance.
Well, the thing is, your father passed away last week, and he left you a substantial amount of money.
Last week?
Yes.
And how did he die?
He passed away in his sleep, very peacefully.
Peaceful, you say?
Yes, ma'am.
That's a shame. When exactly last week did he die?
The 12th, around 6 p.m., I believe.
And you're quite sure it was my father, Clint Madison?
Absolutely. Here's a death certificate. We brought it to show you. As I was saying, he's left you a substantial amount of inheritance. So we just need your bank information, and we'll wire you the cash first thing tomorrow.
I see. Well, I don't want it.
But this is a large sum, Miss Lester. It could make you very comfortable.
How much more comfortable could it possibly make me? I'm currently lying down.
Don't be silly, Miss Lester. He would have wanted you to have it.
You think so? You think you knew my father?
Oh, yes. A kinder gentleman I've never met.
Well, that explains why he used to beat my mother. Why he used to slap her out of petty frustration.
I'm sure it wasn't that bad. You were too young to remember.
I remember what my mother told me.
Women exaggerate. Everyone knows that.
Exaggerate? Did she exaggerate her broken arm or her missing molars? Did she?
We have gotten way off topic. Look, it's my fault. I shouldn't be talking politics with a dame. Let's get back to the will. We just need you to sign these papers, write down your bank details, and we will be out of your hair.
More men trying to run away.
May I use the bathroom?
Yes, it's through the kitchen. Make sure you sit down.
My dad was a piece of work, too.
Oh, Lord, it talks.
He was the worst. Always smoking and drinking. Never offered me any.
Are you trying to be funny or are you Irish?
I'm an American, ma'am. But my mom and pa are from Germany. We used to be the Ketchen Vines. But it's not a popular look these days.
Well, I wouldn't worry. That Hitler won't get very far.
But he's occupying France, Belgium, Poland, Holland.
What? Really? Since when?
Do you not get the papers?
Well, what's the point? You just find out Hitler's invaded your favorite vacation spots.
Do you work, Miss Lester?
What?
Do you have a job?
No, but what's it to you?
It's just, you seem kind of isolated here.
Isolated? Perhaps you're mistaking my solitude for a lack of interest. No, I prefer the company of myself. Less insincerity that way, less lies.
Ah.
I don't just mean from my acquaintances, I also mean from myself. It makes me sick, standing around a cocktail party with every status-obsessed chauvinist and his plastic wife pretending everything is fine. Acting as if the most important thing to me, right there and then, is the vacuous conversation I am forced to engage in. And all whilst we wait for the soonest, politest moment to escape the incessant charade.
Ugh. Well, I like talking to people.
Yes, but not cocktail party people. Not friends of friends who, if it were not for this tenuous connection, you would never look at twice. It's so pointless.
Hang on. Why would you be ashamed of being polite? Are you that selfish?
Excuse me?
You just moaned as if you were the victim of some great injustice of society, when, in reality, we're just talking about some bad chit-chat at some posh schmuck swanky soiree.
Oh, but it transcends life. It's an analogy.
I think maybe you're just a bit of a miserable old hag.
Go! Okay, no!
Your honesty is refreshing, Arthur.
Are you two getting on?
Oh, you're back. You haven't touched your whiskey. Drink.
Have you had a chance to think about our offer?
Offer? It's not a deal we're doing. Which law school did you go to?
Canadian.
But we aren't in Canada.
It's all the same. Just a few less gun laws here.
Do you boys want to play a game?
Sure, how about charades?
We really don't have time. We have a lot of clients still to go see.
At 7:30 at night?
Well, we work long hours being lawyers.
Let's play truth or dare.
Yeah, that's always fun.
No, we really don't have the time.
I insist, and it's my house. So play or get out.
Fine, whatever.
Mr. Ketchenvein, truth or dare?
Truth.
Are you a virgin?
What sort of question is that?
A real one.
Well, the answer is no.
Oh, really? Details, please.
Well, don't you know how to do it?
Never mind. Nate, truth or dare?
Dare.
Oh, excellent. I dare you.
Wait. You just said the last one. It's my turn.
Sorry. Go on, then.
Okay. I dare you to slap yourself in the face.
No!
You have to. It's a dare. Or Fiona could slap you.
No, enough of this. Miss Lester, would you please sign this form so we can leave?
No.
I really think it would be for the best if you would just listen to me.
Well, let me get my pen.
I have one right here.
No, this is a very special pen. It's a family heirloom. My grandfather used it to purchase his first piece of land. Now, I think it's my turn, and I want to hear some truths.
That pen sure looks a lot like a gun.
Who are you?
I told you, I'm your father's lawyer.
Liar! My father's been dead for 5 years, you imbecile.
What?
No, this can't be. You must be mistaken.
I'm mistaken? Who the hell are you?
I'm Nate Cattermole of 32 13th Avenue, Queens, New York, I swear.
Why are you really here?
Look, we were just trying to make a quick buck. We're really sorry.
Tell me what you actually came here to do.
We were going to steal your money. Nate knows this guy. And
Arthur, shut up.
And we just give your bank details to him.
Shut the fuck up.
You see, he can take out all your money and we split and split it with us.
Shut up. She's going to blow your fucking brains out.
It's my first time, I swear.
So, you do this sort of thing all the time, Nate?
Yes, yeah, sometimes. Please stop pointing that gun at me.
Calm down. I haven't decided what I want to do yet, or you'd be dead already.
I don't think you're going to shoot us, or, as you said, you'd have already done it.
Why not? What do I have to lose?
You got all these pretty things. Jail ain't pretty.
You really think they would jail an innocent widow who was only trying to defend herself from two low-life crooks?
I ain't a low-life.
Really?
That's right. I got a kid.
So is Al Capone.
And a wife.
You don't wear a ring.
Come on, lady. We're just a couple of desperate guys.
Oh, is that it? You're both that one-dimensional.
What do you want?
I already said, who are you?
I'm Nate Cattermole.
I know your fucking name. Tell me about you. The real you.
Okay, well, like what?
Where are you from? Where'd you grow up? Did you ever touch another boy inappropriately? Real stuff.
What? I grew up in Brooklyn. Can you please stop pointing that gun at me?
Fine, but if you move, I'll redecorate my wall with you. Continue.
Brooklyn was tough. Bigger guys always picking on me. One time this huge bastard hit me with brass knuckles.
Ooh, that's horrendous.
Yeah, but he'd warned me about talking during his algebra class. Teachers, eh?
Drink. Did you have siblings?
I had five. I'm the second youngest. My eldest sister's alive somewhere, but two died from tuberculosis, and the youngest died during birth. Took my mother with him. Selfish bastard.
Couldn't the doctors save her?
Doctors? Who's paying for that? My parents had barely enough to eat. And my dear father, who spent whatever was left on booze and snuff.
Well, could they not find work?
Yeah, but they were both illiterate, so it was low paid. We were so poor one year, we had to burn the furniture for firewood, which then meant we had to take it in turns being the furniture.
That does sound wretched.
Pretty much. So, no surprise, I'm a screw-up.
Really? That's your outlook? Because those around you are failures, you cannot rise above it?
They weren't failures.
Oh, no, sorry, of course not.
I'm just saying I never had good role models.
There wasn't a single other person to look up to.
Well, my grandpa was a saint.
Was?
He died when I was 12. Total saint. Had a massive heart attack. Right in the middle of banging a hooker.
Hmm.
Never met a nicer guy. Maybe things would have been different if he was around.
Well, still, you can't allow people around you to shape you. You're an individual with autonomy over who you are.
Huh?
You can choose to be influenced by your experiences or not.
Oh, it's that easy, is it?
Whoever said it was easy? When is anything worth doing easy? Easy things in life are usually terrible for you.
Like what?
Oh, well, think about it. Drugs, booze, cheating, lying, they all cost you eventually.
Being alone?
What?
You should add being alone. Being alone is easy. It's way harder to be with someone. You know, you gotta compromise and stuff.
Fine. Yes, we can add that to the list. And actually, Arthur, I think it's your turn to answer.
Sure, I grew up in Brooklyn, too,
No, and... no, 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 I don't want to hear the same sad sack of bad parenting he spouted. I want to know, what is your greatest desire?
Oh, well, I want to be like a movie star, like Chaplin.
No, be realistic, you buffoon. What do you really want?
Well, I guess... I want to be content, if that doesn't sound too weird.
No, not at all. That's arguably the cleverest thing you've said tonight. But what does being content mean to you?
I don't know. I just know I'm not satisfied with my lot right now.
No doubt. I'm sure no one's fantasy is being held at gunpoint by me.
But maybe if I had a family, a nice house, and a dog, then maybe I'd be set.
I wouldn't be so sure.
But isn't that the American dream?
Ha! No. That's the picture of the common man that keeps those in charge reassured and content. If we are all seeking the same pointless existence, no one gets upset. Everyone's too busy to sit down and actually think about it.
Think about what?
All this stuff doesn't mean anything.
But people mean something.
Until they die, and then you're just left with the stuff. Drink.
What did happen to your husband?
Neil? He died in a car accident. Hit a tree whilst drunk.
That's awful.
Killed his mistress, too.
Damn.
I guess you could call it karma, but I really don't. I knew about the affairs. Yes, plural.
Yeah.
He hid it from me, but I knew. The scent of perfume on his clothes, the late-night meetings, the hickey he blamed on leeches. The only thing I ever saw him fish for was a compliment. I never told him I knew. I wouldn't have been able to bear it if he chose one of them over me.
I'm sure he loved you.
Oh, he did. His behavior towards me never changed. He was as attentive and passionate as he had always been. We would sit and talk for hours at a time. We'd discuss everything from Thomas Hobbes to Thomas Edison.
Are they movie stars?
They should be.
So you really miss him?
Every single day. He was my best friend. No one has ever come even close. I know it sounds cliche, but he and I were soulmates. Perhaps there is more than one person out there for us, but I strongly doubt there are more than a few.
No doubt.
What are my chances of ever meeting another one?
Well, you won't have any if you stop looking.
I suppose. Have you ever been in love, Nate?
Well, there was my high school sweetheart.
No, I mean real love. Someone you got to know better than yourself. Someone who embodied everything you hold dear.
I thought you said he was banging other broads. How is that everything you hold dear?
I've still got the gun, Nate. Watch your mouth. Yes, he wasn't perfect, but the time we spent together truly was.
You guys never fought?
No, of course we did. But it's soon forgotten when you're happy.
I'd like to think I have something like that one day.
They say it's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all. But I disagree wholeheartedly. I was happy then, but it costs me so much now.
You gotta just get over it.
I would love to. I would love to never think of him again. To not remember his smile, his touch, the way he'd light my cigarette in the morning when my eyes were still closed.
Ah, so that's what I've been doing wrong. See, I always light mine first.
It's the little things that let her know you care.
Mm.
Look, lady, it's been swell, but we should really be going.
No, sit. You are my guests and we're talking. No one is going anywhere. Drink.
Fine.
What's the worst thing you've ever done, Arthur?
Oh, geez, I don't know.
Oh, come on, something must spring to mind.
Well,
Go on.
No, I can't. I never told anyone.
Oh, please, I'll swear to secrecy, and so will Nate, right, Nate?
Whatever.
Okay, well, when I was 16, I think I might have, well, maybe I, well, I killed a guy.
What? How can you be so unsure?
I don't know. I ran away.
Well, what happened?
I was doing a favor for a friend. This girl I knew back then, she wanted me to scare off this creep, you know, who wouldn't leave her alone.
And you killed him?
No. I don't know. It went wrong. I went to confront him, and he got up in my face. I had this knife. I always had this knife because my uncle had given it to me for my 12th birthday. It was from the Great War. He told me it was for protecting me against my own Great War. I don't know what he meant by that, but I held on to it always. So there I was, 4 years later. I had confronted this guy outside this girl's apartment where he was lurking. I told him to back off. He started pushing me, so I pushed him back. He jumped on me, and we were suddenly on the floor, and he has one hand over my windpipe. The other fist is raining down blows. He wasn't going to stop. He was going to kill me. So I pulled the knife and swung out, and it sank between his ribs, and he stopped punching me. He slid off me. He started coughing up blood, and then he stopped moving. I pulled my knife out and I just ran. I ran all the way home. I burnt my clothes, I buried the knife, and I never spoke to that girl again.
Dear God, I thought you were going to say you'd stolen a bun, but murder.
He might not be dead.
I think he is.
It was self-defense.
Oh, was it? Was it a proportional response?
Well, he was going to kill me.
If you say so.
Oh, what about you? Huh? I'm sure you've made some mistakes, too.
Well, I never gutted someone in the street.
Well, what have you done?
Me? I've done much. The worst of it is probably not attending my mother's funeral.
What? That's low. After what you said of your old man, you didn't attend your old ma's funeral?
It was the day after Neil died.
Oh, that's a rough week.
Tell me about it.
How did she die?
Suffocated. By me.
What? Isn't that worse than not going to the funeral?
She asked me to. She was in immense pain.
Jeez, I don't know if I could have done that.
I didn't want to. I had to. And I thought I could handle it. But after Neil died the next day, it was too much.
Yeesh, no kidding.
I regret it every day.
I don't think she would blame you.
I think she would forgive me in the circumstance, but it's me who can't forgive myself. I should have been stronger. We have to be there for people when they need us, not when it suits us. Anyway, enough about me. Nate, it's your turn, I believe.
Look, Ms. Lester, what is going on? What is this?
We are chatting and drinking, Nate. It's what civil people do.
Whilst pointing a gun at each other?
Why are you so resistant? Do you really have anywhere else to be? Where would you be if you weren't here right now?
Probably at the bar.
Oh, a bar. And do you have fulfilling and engrossing conversations there? Or do you discuss the weather and women's genitalia?
Yeah, mostly women's genitalia.
We talk about man stuff. Sports, cars, and the weather. Nothing wrong with that.
It's mundane. It doesn't mean anything. You didn't design those cars. You're not playing those sports. And you can't control the weather. Talk about something you actually are doing. Something that truly affects you. What's happening in your actual life?
Some of the other guys complain after their wives.
I mean, go deeper than that.
Why? What's it to you? Why do you fucking care what I do?
Because we are all capable of leading better lives. I mean, look at us. Are any of us happy?
So what? Nothing ever changes.
Oh, don't be so ignorant. With a little conscious effort, who knows what you could both be?
Whatever. It's so easy for you to say that kind of bullshit. When you're sat there in your $1,000 dress in a house that would cost every bit of scratch I ever earned. Seriously, you have no fucking idea what it's like to be me.
Tell me.
Fine. You want to know? I'm 43. I've never been married. Never had a career. No family. Who wants to speak to me? I look like this. I got bad breath. I spit out of everywhere. All the time. And no matter what I try, I can't get rid of that smell.
It's very oniony.
Oh, I thought you'd been for Indian food.
The kind of Indian we killed?
No, the kind of Indian the British killed.
Oh.
Look, Nate, most of that is fixable. You could get a job, reconnect with family, buy an industrial strength cleaner.
I'm too old. I won't live past 55. I should have joined the war. At least I'd be a die hero.
Oh, yeah. Even if you were the first dead, they'd still give you a real nice medal.
War. Such a man's game. It's driven by ego.
I know some dames with attitudes, too.
Yes, but they've never shot anyone over it.
How can you say that? You're holding the damn gun.
Oh, yes. I almost forgot. Ugh. Still, war isn't your only avenue. You could do anything you wanted.
Like what?
You could open a shop.
With what money?
Well, you could learn a trade.
I got a trade.
Lying isn't a trade.
I'd love to be a carpenter. You know, making tables, chairs, weapons, false teeth.
Oh, you don't want wooden teeth. I got these fancy new ones. Much better. 100% lead.
They don't look like lead.
That's because I painted them white with some fancy lead-based paint.
I think being a carpenter is a virtuous choice.
Oh, thank you, Miss Lester.
Call me Fiona.
Look, Fiona.
Miss Lester to you.
Fine. Miss Lester. I get it. You're lonely. Your husband's dead. Your friends are dull. But why you gotta drag us into your sorry life?
I didn't drag either of you here. You came of your own accord.
But now we want to leave.
I don't want to leave.
You are going to sit there until I say so.
Or what?
Or I'm going to put this gun in your mouth, and I'm going to watch the life drain out of your underachieving eyes.
Jesus, all right, I get it.
Here, take one of these each.
What the hell is that?
Oh, they'll make you feel just great.
No way.
Look, I'll take one first. It's not a trick. See? Come on, what's the worst that could happen?
If this makes me die, I'm going to kill you.
Good boys. Now relax and enjoy this fine scotch. So, Arthur, do you have any phobias?
No, but there is a guy at the bar we know who can get you anything.
I'm talking about a fear, something that frightens you.
Oh, well, I guess I'd say death.
Death. I like it. That's a rational one. Arguably, all phobias are linked to it. A fear of heights is really a fear of falling and dying.
Exactly.
Why would anyone care about dying? You get to go to heaven, then.
You think you'll go to heaven, Nate? God doesn't look too kindly on sinners.
As long as you ain't murdered anyone, I'm sure he lets it slide.
Well, that's me and Arthur out.
I didn't murder anyone. But anyway, who's to say there's really is a God or heaven? Just because some people wrote it down way before any of us were born, we're just meant to take it as fact?
Apparently.
But how come every place in the world has different stories about what's after this? What does that say?
That they're wrong, we got it right.
What? How can you think that? Even you Christians don't all agree.
You're religious, Nate.
Of course. I'm Catholic. I don't want to be left behind on Judgment Day.
I think you were left behind a long time ago.
As long as you go to church every week, confess your sins, God will accept you with open arms into the kingdom of heaven.
Heaven isn't the first-class carriage on a train. You can't just bluff your way in. If there is a God, and I highly much doubt it, he will, I'm sure, look deep into your soul and will know who you truly are, not how you pretend to be.
But I'm a good guy, deep down.
That doesn't matter if your actions don't equate. The person who thinks they're good but behaves as they know they shouldn't is far worse than the ignorant who knows no better.
Maybe I don't know any better.
You do. I can see it in your eyes. You can't fool me, Mr. Cattermole. You know what you are. You know what you could be. Worst of all, you know what your behavior is going to leave you with.
Hindsight is 20/20. Yeah, I might have done things differently if I knew at 18 what I know now, but probably not. I probably would have just made the same dumb mistakes. Because I would still be me.
Why do you insist on believing that?
Maybe it's just easier that way.
For who?
Do you believe in God, Fiona?
Well, that's a tough one, Arthur. But it shouldn't really matter.
Why not?
Because if this is all there is, then you haven't wasted it.
I guess, but I just can't get the thought out of my head that one day we're here, and then that's it. We're dead. We cease to exist. We will never think a thought again. No more love, no more laughter, no more delicious meals or entertaining bar fights. It's just over.
But that is life. You can choose to look at it like that or choose to see it as you having won the lottery in the first place by being born. You didn't die in childbirth. You weren't aborted. You weren't the unlucky sperm who got shot into an old sock. You made it.
I get what you're saying, yeah. I gotta be optimistic.
Exactly.
Nah, stick to cynicism. That way you don't get hurt.
Or laid.
What do you know about my... See.
About time.
Oh, God. What's going on?
Oh, relax, darling. See you in a bit.
What the fuck? You tied us up?
Oh, just a bit. You can still move your hands to drink.
Those are sleeping pills?
Basically. Sedatives, to be exact.
But why didn't you pass out, too?
Because I usually take 6 more every night.
Seriously, this is messed up, lady.
Well, I had to use the bathroom, and I didn't want you to leave.
I would have stayed.
Shut up, Arthur.
Oh, now, Mr. Cattermole, there is no need to be rude.
No need to be rude? What planet are you from? You can't tie up your guests.
Oh, your guests now. Oh, I thought you were thieves pretending to be attorneys.
This is bullshit.
Oh, calm down. What has actually changed from before you had your little nap?
I'm tied up.
Yes, but you were equally constrained before. Now it's just a bit more literal. And this way I know you won't try to leave. I can relax. Drink up. Now, where were we?
Oh, we were talking about how Nate never gets any.
That's right. So, Nate, you were saying...
Nah, I'm good.
Well, that's fine. We don't have to talk about that if you're too uptight.
It ain't that. I barely know you.
Not true. I've told you lots about me. Is there anything in particular you'd like to know?
Yeah. Why are you holding us hostage?
You're not hostages. Your guests.
That's crap.
Don't shout. There's no need for that.
Are you crazy?
No.
Yes, you are.
Relax, Nate. She ain't hurt us.
You're crazy, too. I'm goddamn surrounded.
No one is crazy here, Nate. We're all just different. Why does anyone get to decide what is normal?
So no one ends up drugging and tying people up?
You are really taking this personally. Is it that uncomfortable?
No, it's fine. It's just loose enough. I'm barely chafing.
You see, this is the optimism I was talking about. Arthur isn't focusing on the negative.
Good for him.
You know what, Nate? I thought I got you. I thought with a little prying, we could see eye to eye. But maybe you are a lost cause.
I ain't a lost cause. We're just from different worlds. You grew up playing bridge and riding horses, and I grew up hustling. Under a bridge.
I would never ride a horse. It's just a car with a brain. And so what? Just because you grew up in squalor. Trust me, we are still the same species.
No, we ain't. That's what I've been trying to say. Our brains don't work the same.
Well, then perhaps they are equally flawed, but then also equally repairable.
No, I know who I am.
Well, I hope you can take solace in that.
I don't need solace. I need to be let the hell go.
I just want you to admit that things could be different.
Really? That's it?
It would be a start.
Wow. Okay. Then fine. Yeah, I guess maybe things could be different.
Good. And what does this change look like?
I don't know.
You do.
Maybe I start playing chess again. I like chess. I used to play it with Grandpa.
Well, that sounds delightful.
Not really the word I would use. Let's just say I get a kick out of it.
Well, that works for me. Excellent. Oh, we're just about out of scotch. Well, that won't do. Let me just nip out and get some more. You two sit tight and I will be right back.
Could you maybe turn the wireless on for us?
No, sorry. It's broken.
Oh, maybe we can fix it.
I doubt it. I threw it out the bedroom window.
Oh, why?
Well, why not? Don't have too much fun without me. I'll be right back.
Well, this certainly wasn't how I pictured this going.
It's my fault. I screwed it up, man. I'm just not good at anything.
No, it's partly my fault.
No, I'm the dumb new guy.
No, you're not. No,
I am. I always do this.
No, I am.
What?
This is my first time trying this.
What? But I thought...
I know. I'm sorry. I thought this would be easy.
But how did you even get this idea?
Well, I do know this guy at the bank who can sort this stuff out. It was his idea. I get the details, he does the transaction, he even forged a death certificate.
Oh, I see.
I don't understand how he didn't know he was already dead.
Oh, man, I really like Miss Lester, but I think she's gonna kill us.
Nah, relax. This might be my first time doing this, but this ain't the first time a dame's tied me up. Give me a second. Though maybe keep an eye out for pillows. See? Oh, I'm freaking Houdini!
Is that the Indian guy with the toga?
No, that's Gandhi. Oh. Let me help you out.
Thanks.
There. Now let's get the hell out of here.
But what about Fiona?
You can't be serious. You just said she might kill us.
Yeah, but maybe not. I mean, I think she's just lonely.
Yeah, and loners blow people's brains out. Come on.
She left the gun.
Put it down. Let's go.
I just wish there was something we could do for her, you know?
No, I don't know. She held us hostage and drugged us. Have you got that Helsinki syndrome?
No, I've had all my vaccines.
No, never mind. Can we just leave, please?
Fine.
Thank God for that.
Thank you. Boys, I'm back and I have a treat for... Oh, damn. It would be so easy. Oh. Hello, Diana. About the... Well, I can do better than them.
The Men Who Came was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Nick Rinker, Caitlin Docking, and Kenneth Tyner.
All right, there we go. That was our very special presentation of The Men Who Came. Hope you enjoyed that. Well, what did you think, Connor? Was it all right? Cheers, man. Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to do some work on it. I think there's lots of stuff that I could change. Like, still don't love the beginning. Like, there's a lot of, like, sort of exploration and, like, trying to lay out the facts of the setting and everything. If I can just do that in a bit more creative way, and then once we get into the meat of things, I think it gets good. And there's a few things that I've changed the ending. Unfortunately, like, doing it as a radio play, it misses some of the physical stuff that ends up being quite important and interesting to see.
Like that sex scene was... You just said it was happening, didn't you?
Yeah, no, definitely. Alright, let's put on our first track of the night, because we haven't got long, so let's get straight into it. First one tonight is going to be a band we played before. This is Mel Sandé and Sir Larry Tintintin.
Mon père n'avait fille que moi, mon père n'avait fille que moi. Encore sur la mer, il m'envoyait Tintin sur la rive, Tintin sur la rive, sur la rive. Tintin, le marinier qui m'y menait, le marinier qui m'y menait. Il devint amoureux de moi, Tintin, sur la rive, Tintin, sur la rive, sur la rive, Tintin, Tintin, sur la rive, Tintin. Il me dit, mamselle, embrassez-moi, il me dit, mamselle, embrassez-moi. Non, non, monsieur. We'll be right back.
Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight for Copy and Paste with your host, Tim, a.k.a. Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music.
Last year, over 650 BC teens aged out of foster care without a permanent family.
Adoption is not just for babies. Teens need families too. Only 24 teens in BC were adopted last year.
November is Adoption Awareness Month. To find out more about adopting a teen, contact the Adoptive Families Association of BC. Call 1-877-ADOPT-07 or visit us at bcadopt.com.
right, there we go. That's Louise Burns with Storms off Young Mopes. Yeah, really good good choice there, mate. Good choice.
Thank you very much. That's a good track. Good album.
Yeah, no, very good one. So our topic for the night is, of course...
you say night, you mean 3 minutes.
For the next 3 minutes is, of course, the big news in America in the last few days was, of course, the chaos in Charlottesville with the alt-right protesting and the counter-protest, which ended in a death and many injuries due to a... let's just call him a Nazi, driving their car into...
Oh, man, terrorist.
Terrorist, Nazi, whatever you want to call them, into a one of the protesters on...
A crowd of people, yeah, a crowd of protesters as well.
Yeah, it was just messed up. So, really, like, obviously, there's been much sort of explanation and breaking down of what happened and how terrible it was, and that's not exactly what I want to talk about right now. What my concern is I thought the response by Trump was a very curious one. Not the initial response or the second response, but rather the third one, the Tuesday, where he gave this... well, really the first one and the third one sort of combined, I would say. But he gave this sort of, for him, what I would call for him, a very nuanced response. He's such a blunt and... just dull and sort of, you know, ham-fisted man normally in his, what his, you know, sort of speeches are about and his
delivery,
his understanding of situations. And then we have this sort of much more nuanced idea of, oh, well, it was, you know, it was a fight on both sides and both sides were to blame and blah, blah, blah. And to me, that just stank of Stephen Miller and, of course, maybe even a bit of Steve Bannon. I don't even know if he's even allowed in the White House anymore, but I know Miller's still rocking around there. And if those of you don't know, Miller is basically Stephen Bannon's, like, shitted out little
protégé.
He's just a cesspit of a human being who is so far up the alt-right's arse, it's surprised he can see to get himself dressed in the morning. And he does. He looks like somebody's big toe. He looks like if you sucked all the life out of Jerry Seinfeld, you'd end up with Stephen Miller. So anyway, but he's certainly, I think, a little bit more clever than Trump. And so what do you think? Do you think this speech came from him, these ideas, or do you think this is Trump's own ideas?
It's hard to say. I mean, the fact that he had to make a few different kind of rounds of addressing the issues seems to suggest that, like, he hadn't quite done it justice, at least in his own mind, in the minds of the White House, his staff, the people, the American people. So I feel like he could only have, in a certain sense, got deeper. You're very right. He is typically very blunt and ham-fisted. But I feel like after so many opportunities, you kind of, at some point, he's gonna have to go down some kind of rabbit hole, and I feel like he might have in this case.
But obviously, like, this was to sort of edge his bets in terms of his support base, which is, you know, others have suggested. But I don't even think that came from him. I feel like that's come from someone else. They've said, like, you know, mate, like, we don't want to piss off your support base, which are a bunch of sort of, you know, immigrant hating white supremacists.
We also don't want to exactly condone their behavior, so
yeah, so let's condone it without actually explaining who the people are we're condoning.
Let's just say bad people do bad things and anyone can be bad, you know.
No, it's I mean, like, again, it's like he's been in power now for about 8 months or so, or like 6 or 7 months. You reckon that some way he has to get a little more eloquent, in-depth, nuanced, as you were saying?
I think you're giving him too much credit.
Even if it isn't necessarily his ideas, the persona which he represents, it can't escape some kind of transformation and morphing, I think. He's not going to be able to keep up the saber-rattling bluntness for 4 years. It's not going to happen. Even his supporters would eventually go, he kind of seems to be blowing off a lot of smoke and not really doing anything.
You say that, but how many times have we made predictions about Trump and we've been completely bloody wrong? that I wouldn't put it past him to continue this just ham-fisted, psychotic, you know, bull in a china shop diplomacy for the entire period. I mean, it's quite funny because North Korea, you know, got all sort of uppity and tried to kind of call his bluff a little bit this week. Yeah. With the Guam thing, they were like, "Oh, we've got a plan for Guam," and then the next, like, literally a few hours later, they're like, "But we're just gonna put it on the back burner for now, like,
we'll hold, see what's happening."
Yeah, like, piss off, Kim Jong Un. Like, you were never gonna push that button. You wouldn't dare because you would, you know. It doesn't matter if it's Trump, Obama, whoever was in the White House. It's a kamikaze mission for them to just pull any trigger. Because they'd lose any war.
Oh, yeah, but it's not about winning or losing war. It's about how much you win or lose your reputation and your perception of
it's about danger. It's about maintaining power in his own country. That's what it always comes down to with dictators.
I don't think people from Guam were about to start a coup.
What I'm talking about North Korea. And
Okay, good.
I don't think I've been up for 24 hours.
I'm
very bloody tired at this point.
He thinks we should nuke Guam. I like him. He's a good leader. Anyway, but to your point, though.
We're kind of going on sidetrack here, but I just think it's very curious, the statement that he made. It just had too much nuance to be a Trump statement. That was a Miller or a Bannon, and I'm not trying to give them too much credit. It was because it's that manipulating reality to suit your agenda. Like, a perfect example of that is that Faith, what's her name on Twitter? She's this Canadian alt-right speaker, and I got sucked into looking at her Twitter feed. I don't know why, but she posted this article that was a global article. So I was like, holy shit, I gotta look at this. Because she wrote in next to the article link, she was like, many illegal immigrants coming into Canada bring child pornography and it's found with them at the border. And I was like, what the fuck? And it's a global article.
This is where I get some?
I was like, I've got to find out what's the story here. Yeah. And it turns out it was like three people who were crossing the border illegally, who were seeking refugee status, out of like 400. So we're talking like 1 in 100 brought child pornography. So like, calm the fuck down, lady. Like, you know, there was a couple of fucking weirdos coming across the border. No shit. That's why we have, you know, customs and exiles and all these people employed to make sure that the seediest of people aren't bringing filth into the country.
Do you think they didn't know? They thought it was okay in Canada.
They were like, what? She's 14. Is that not the age of consent here?
Country,
it's like, it's like, you guys have free pot. What's going on? No. All right. That's enough offensive commentary for tonight. We're going to leave you with one more song. Coming up right away is The Ninth Wave, which is a cracking show. So stay tuned for that if you've got the time. Otherwise, we'll see you next week for our final show, our final bloody extra long, super duper awesome show. Hopefully, I haven't written it yet, so we'll see.
I'm trying to speak if that's what it's going to be titled.
please tune in for that. I'll try and make it worth your while. Thank you so much for listening tonight. Last of tonight, one last great tune. This is Kate Fleming with Carrier Hotel.
Streetlight to streetlight, wind your way down Front Street. You dodge the net sweeper.